Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp from Homeschool CPA, and I hope you've been learning something and enjoying the most recent podcast I've been doing about money management in a homeschool organization. I know it's not the most interesting thing to be talking about, but boy, you're listening to this podcast because you're the leader of a homeschool organization. That means you have a lot of responsibility on your shoulders. And yes, you have the responsibility of managing the money well. And that's what I try to help you do over at homeschoolcpa.com, as well as through my books and through this podcast. So in the previous podcast, I talked about the separation of duties, a very important concept that says the treasurer does not do it all. She has to have checks on him or her, and many eyeballs on the finances. And then I talked about the very important job of doing the bank reconciliation, because it helps you find mistakes or, God forbid, fraud or embezzlement. I hope that never happens in your homeschool group. And then, let's see, I talk next about accounting software that can make your job easier, better, faster. I'm going to talk in this episode about how to read the financial statements that your treasurer should be preparing for every board meeting, or at least once a month. And usually accounting software like QuickBooks just spits them out. But I'm going to explain to you what it should look like, how to read it. And then the next episode will be the second financial statement called the balance sheet. That's pretty important for you to understand as homeschool leaders as well. So it's really hard to talk about financial statements in a podcast because they're so visual. Okay. So what I recommend is getting a copy of my book, Money Management in a Homeschool Organization, because in there I have a chapter devoted to the financial reports that a board should be looking at very frequently, every month or every other month, and examples of these financial statements, so very visual. I might pop one or two of those into the show notes of this podcast, and where you can find the show notes is at homeschoolcpa.com. I write a blog post for every podcast, so you can look for the podcast blogs, or you can click on the blog page, and in the little search box, put something like, money management or something like that. And it'll lead you to these podcasts. And that's where you can find a picture of what I am talking about. Okay. So I want to talk about financial statements. These are there are two. There are really three in accounting, but only two homeschool groups typically care about. And that is, the first one I want to talk about is called the Statement of Revenue and Expenses. Sometimes it's called the Profit and Loss. And then in the next episode, I'll talk about the balance sheet. And the one I'm not going to talk about at all is called the Statement of Cash Flows, because it just doesn't really apply to homeschool groups or nonprofits, small ones. Okay, well, let me talk about this statement called the Statement of Revenue and Expenses. That's, I think, the best name for it. That's what we call it in the nonprofit world, because it explains this is a statement of the revenues, meaning the money that came into your organization, and your expenses. In the for-profit world, in the business world, it's called a P&L. You'll hear people say the P&L. That stands for profit and loss. Well, that just means it's the same thing. You still have a listing of your income in the business, the for-profit business, your expenses, and the bottom line is the profit or the loss. But I like the title of Statement of Revenue and Expenses better, because that reflects better what's on this statement. Okay, so I have seen lots of financial statements from homeschool groups, and usually they design them themselves, and okay, that's fine, or they're using QuickEnd software or QuickBooks software, and they're making up their own list of what their sources of revenue are and what their sources of expenses are. And I get that, because everybody's unique and you want to make this statement unique to what your board wants to see and the way your program is run. I get that. But I'm going to give you some general tips to make this financial statement easier to read and to understand. And then I'll briefly talk about you as a board member sitting there handed this thing. What in the heck are you looking at? And what are you looking for? So One tip I want to give you is basically you should have very broad categories on this statement of revenue expenses. Not too much detail. In other words, this statement should only be one page long. Maybe only two-thirds of the page, okay? I have seen statements of revenue expenses, P&Ls, that go for 3 pages, way too much. You should basically have very broad general categories for your revenue. And for a homeschool group, you might have 3 broad categories of revenue, like my dues, if you charge membership fees. That's one source of revenue. Then what might be just called your program, meaning anything you do, your activities. And under there, you might have subcategories. That's one of my best, most important tips. Use subcategories, folks, for your expenses as well as your sources of income. But under program, you might have, oh, we have a co-op. Oh, we have field trips. Oh, we do special events. Those might all be called program income or revenues from programs. And then you might have another category or two, maybe if you receive donations, or maybe if you have fundraisers. That's it, okay? You don't need a whole long list. You shouldn't say Spring Play 2018, you know, something like that, because then you're going to need a category Fall Play 2019, right? No, you just put it under program and maybe a subcategory if you really want to, labeled plays. But I have seen people list the most detailed things. Crazy. I've seen it even worse on the expense side. So at the top of this revenue of statement of, excuse me, on top of this statement of revenue expenses go your revenues. Subtotal them, right? Then down below that you list your expenses. And again, broad categories. That's my tip. Use broad categories. 3 major categories in nonprofits for expenses are your program expenses. Again, you will probably have several categories underneath your program expenses, okay? But then another category called general and administrative. These are all the expenses that are not tied to your programming, like your co-op or your field trip or your special events or your activities or clubs. G&A, general and administrative. This is where you're going to put things that you might consider overhead, okay, that you don't apply to actually doing your activities, but you got to pay the bills, right? Like the website or your insurance. Those are general and administrative expenses, and they go under a category called general administrative. And then finally, you might have a category of fundraiser expense if your fundraisers actually incur some expenses. Some are fundraisers like Amazon Smile or Box Tops. There's no expense involved. You just get money. Those are the best fundraisers. But some fundraisers might have you like buying script or buying candy bars and then reselling them or something like that. So you would list your fundraiser expenses. And then, of course, at the bottom line below the expenses is the bottom line, which is your profit. Or in the nonprofit world, we call it your net income. And it shows, did I bring in enough money to cover my expenses? Okay, so that's what the statement of revenue expenses, sometimes called the P&L, should look like. Revenues at the top, big categories, expenses down below. Okay, I told you I've seen lots of P&Ls or these statements. And one, God bless them, it wasn't a homeschool group, but it was a small nonprofit that was growing. And again, they were one of these people that those groups that had their financial statement went out for 3 pages, and they were so detailed in their expenses. They had a line item, a category called, you ready? Name tags. Name tags. No. You don't have to list a line item for name tags. Put that under office expense, which is a general and administrative expense. So have, again, main category called program expenses. General and administrative, which might be insurance, office expense. And under office expense, you do not have to have a line item for name tags. Just put the expense and sum it all up. Okay, folks. So anyway, I did a lot of cleaning up of their statements to make it easier to read. Your board does not want to look at 3 pages of numbers. Most boards don't want to look at one. Okay, so And you as a board member should be reading these financial statements regularly, every month, maybe if you meet monthly, at least every quarter. Now let me tell you basically kind of what you're looking for. what you're looking for is start with the bottom line, which is I call profit if you're a for-profit business or not-for-profit. But it is to look to see if the enough income came in to cover your expenses. Okay, of course, you're looking at the past. A budget helps you look at the future. I hope you're budgeting. but you're trying to look at, did the income we get from our programs cover the expenses? Or, you know, or what is the breakdown of our income? Where's our income coming from? Are we too dependent upon fundraisers? Do we need to increase our dues to cover our expenses? Things like that. You should look at, how much are we paying for things like rent or utilities? Could we get free rent from somebody? You won't even know if you need to go worry about looking for a different place to meet unless you know how much or how expensive this is costing you and therefore can go negotiate, you know, other places. Look at your special events. Are they paying for themselves? You should have a category up top called special event income, a category down below called special event expenses. Now, some groups do this fatal mistake. Fatal. Please don't do this. It drives CPAs and accountants absolutely crazy. But in software, they mix the two. They'll mix expenses, and this is in like QuickBooks software, they'll mix the expenses with the revenues in the same account. So for example, they'll have one account called field trips, and they'll put all the deposits from the field trips in there, and then they'll put all the expenses from the field trips in there. And then when they look at their financial statement in QuickBooks, it says, field trips, $50. But when you click on the detail, you realize, no, it was like $3,000 that came in and $2,950 that went out. So yes, they broke even, but you really had more than just $50 of income. You had $3,000 of income. And if you don't show that as income at the top and expenses down below, your board doesn't know if how much true money is coming into the organization. So what I'm trying to say there is don't mix income and expenses in the same category in your software. It drives me absolutely crazy when folks do that. And I was going to say I scold them, but I try to tell them, please don't do that. Okay. So anyway, those are the kind of things you're looking at when you read these statements. A lot of groups like to have one column on their statement of revenue and expenses for their actual revenue and expenses. And then right next to the column is their budget, their projection. Well, we thought this much income was going to come in, but here's the actual. Or here's a budget of what we expenses were going to be, but here's the actual. And that is very useful because then the board knows if you're going over budget or if you're under budget and by how much. Or can I basically rob Peter to pay Paul? I'm over budget on this category, but don't worry about it. I'm under budget on that one, and look at the bottom line to make sure that I have not, you know, gone into the red, that I am bringing in enough money to cover my expenses, don't have to do a fundraiser, don't have to ask for donations or whatever you have to do if you have to raise more income. So these are the kind of statements that should be prepared regularly because that's how you know what's going on in your organization financially. It's more than just opening up the checkbook, see if there's money there. It's actually knowing where the money went and if that reflects where you want your program to be going. Do we really want to be spending all this money on, you know, whatever, special events, plays? And if somebody says, yeah, because that's who we are and that's what we do, great, go for it. But if they say, no, that's really not what we're called to do, not what we're supposed to be doing, let's redo our programs based on what we're learning by looking at the financial statements. So that's why you look at them. You look at them to help you plan your program year. You look at them to see how you've done in the past. You keep track to see if you are, you know, managing the money well, not overspending, you know, managing closely to the budget. And I do hope you prepared a budget. If you don't know how, hey, this is where my book, Money Management and Homeschool Organization, comes in handy. And, I said already that I have looked at lots of the statements that homeschool groups create. And if you'd like me to take a look at yours and offer you some suggestions of how to clean it up or make it easier for a board to read, I'm happy to do that. Contact me over at my website, homeschoolscpa.com. Or the one thing I wish more groups would ask me to do would be to join your board meeting virtually, you know, via FaceTime or webcast or a conference call or something to explain to your board how to look at their financial statements and what they're actually seeing. If you're a large organization and you're filing the paper form with the IRS every year, you know, the Form 990, 990EZ. I would love to be, you know, invited to one of your board meetings to say, well, you know, here's what your financial statement is that you create, and then here's what you tell the IRS, and let me explain to you how to read these statements. So I would love to do that kind of thing. I don't get asked to do that very often, and I wish more groups would invite me to, you know, help them run their organization better by helping them understand these financial statements. So you know what to do. Email me, carol@homeschoolcpa.com. This is what I really enjoy doing, okay? I'm a little nerdy. I'm a homeschool mom who is a CPA, and I love helping homeschool groups and homeschool leaders like you. So keep doing the good work you're doing. Please manage your money well, because that will help your program be and stay successful.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.